Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
We'd just like to welcome all those online with us this morning. Hallelujah. Welcome online. Glad that you are here with us. There's no distance in the spirit realm. What you can believe God for right there is the same thing that we believe in God right here for. And it can happen for you just like it can happen for these people right here in the room. Hallelujah. First of all, this morning, when I was praying real early this morning, it came up in my spirit that there is somebody here, whether you're in here or online, that you believe that you are paying for your sins or your wrongs. But I'm here to tell you today that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are not paying for your sins and your wrongs. Jesus not only redeemed you from the power of sin, he broke the power of sin from over your life, but he also redeemed you from the penalty of sin. He has already suffered in your place. Yes. Let me say that again. Jesus has already suffered for you in your place. You are not paying for your wrongs or your sins. Jesus already took care of that for you, and all you need to do is accept it. Hallelujah. Accept it and walk in the light of that. So God is not putting sickness and disease on you to teach you anything, and it's not coming because you committed sins and was in the wrong. No. If you're in Jesus Christ today, your sins are remitted, the power of it's broken, and he paid the penalty of it for all your wrongs and sins. Amen? So that's freeing this morning to somebody. Hallelujah. God always brings freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have been sharing in here the past couple of weeks. Hallelujah. This is the fourth week. About healing is not always instantaneous. That it can be gradual or it can be a process. We need to learn to accept them both. Not only accept them both, but know how to work with them both. Because just because something is supernatural does not mean it's instantaneous. Well, Pastor Debbie, in the Old Testament, I saw it happen just like this. It happened just like that for them. It can still happen like that today, but also the New Testament, it gives us examples. We have been looking at examples in the Bible where there have been gradual process healings. Yeah. Healing has been a process, or it has been gradual. It has not been instantaneous. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, we need to learn how to meet with God's help and his power and work together with him. Sometimes we put it all on God and expect him to do everything. No, he's waiting for us to work with him with our faith. Our faith is our belief and trust in him and what he's already said and spoken. Stop letting the devil beat you up. Let me park here 1 minute because I sense. Stop allowing the enemy to beat you up with the thoughts that he's bombarding you with that are totally opposite of this word right here. You will never bring resistance back against the enemy until you learn to do exactly what Jesus did when he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God and was tempted for 40 days. The only thing that Jesus came back was with the Word of God. Jesus said, "It is written, it is written." He never talked about how dim it looked, how bad it looked, what the enemy tried to show him when he took him in different places. No, he said, "It is written, it is written. It is written." He never got his eyes off of what was written. And neither should you and I when it comes to the enemy trying to come against us, trying to bombard us, you know, because we live in a fallen world. Hello. It's real. We live in a fallen world, but Jesus is the Lord over the believers. Jesus is Lord over you, and he broke the power of the devil from off of your life. I said he broke the power of the devil from off of your life, that you do not have to put up with the devil's junk. What is the devil's junk? Sickness, disease, weakness, illness, fear, lack, poverty. Come on now. The devil is the author of those things, not God our Father. No, God is not the author of these things. He came and sent his son Jesus Christ to redeem us from these things so that you and I can walk in divine health and freedom in Christ on the earth right here and right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Oh, someday, Pastor Debbie, I know. Well, I know too, 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, God sent his son to take your place. And when he took your place, he not only dealt with your sins, your spiritual condition, he also dealt with your physical condition and provided healing for you. The same time that your sins were remitted is the same time that healing was provided for your physical body. Well, that sounds right there to me like that's not on God anymore. He's waiting for us to what? Accept that truth, believe that truth, and what? Act on that truth. Because faith without what? Corresponding actions, James chapter 2. Faith without corresponding action is what? Is dead. Ineffective. Your faith gives action to the power. What is your faith? It's your believing and trusting in what God has said, not in what your five senses might be telling you. God did not give you a physical body to believe him with. Oh, let me say that again. God did not give you this physical body to believe him with. He gave you a heart. The heart, with the heart of man, the very core of your being, your spirit man, the inward man, the hidden man of the heart. Faith resides in the heart. The God kind of faith is in the heart. It's with the heart man believes, not with your head. With our minds, we are to what? Agree with God. Agreeing by renewing our minds on a continual basis. We'll never get away from renewing our minds as long as we live on this earth. We should never get tired of it, sick of it. I've done renewed my mind so much, Pastor Debbie. Keep doing it. If it becomes familiar with you, get on your knees and ask God to refreshing that to you so that you receive the fresh. Come on. And understand that the Word is alive. The Word of God is alive and ever giving birth to new facets of revelation to you concerning how bad and how much you want it. Oh, let me say that again. I said the Word of God is alive and it's ever given birth to new facets of revelation to you who really want it and desire it. He's going to get it to those that are hungry for it and want it. They're serious about it. So we come on purpose. When we show up, we show up on purpose. It's just like the people in the New Testament. They came to hear and be healed. It wasn't all on God. No, they came to hear something, the good news. What did Jesus tell them? He said, I am anointed. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what Jesus went about saying and doing. He said it and he exemplified it. He did it. Luke 4:18-19. He was the Word of God in action. Personified. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So how much more you and I as believers, not doubters, believers in Christ, believers in what he's already done, the finished work of Christ, the great plan of redemption. He has delivered you from the kingdom of darkness, Colossians 1:13. He has redeemed you from the curse of the law, being made a curse for you, Galatians 3:13. Christ became that curse for you. He redeemed you. What was the curse of the law, Pastor Debbie? Poverty, sickness, spiritual death. For death, he gave you life, eternal life. For sickness, he gave you health. For poverty, he gave you wealth. Yes. Hallelujah. This is good news. I don't know about you, but it... Hallelujah. Makes me want to do a pep in my step. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we've been talking about healing can be a process. It can be gradual. Sometimes your faith will produce an instantaneous healing. Sometimes your faith will produce a what? A gradual healing or a process healing. We must learn to accept both. And we need to know what to do if it is a process or a gradual healing. The first thing is when we get to that place that we release our faith and we believe we receive something, whether it's coming up here having hands laid on you, whether sitting right there in your seat and saying, bless God, I believe that word today is mine. I accept it. I receive it. I own it. I make it mine today. I'm releasing my faith. Thank you, Lord, for it. Right there in your seat. Whether you do it like that, pray the prayer of faith, get anointed with oil. There are at least seven different kinds of ways that you can receive. God made it easy to meet you at any level to get healing to you. His highest and his best is for you to hear the word of God for yourself, receive that word, take that word, believe on it, and then act like it's yours. Own it. It's mine. I have it because God has said it, not because I feel it. So the feelings is what? The voice of your body. And your body is not the real you. It's the house or the shell for your spirit man, the inward man. So that's why he did not give you your body to believe him with. We cannot look at our bodies to see if we're healed or not. Don't do that. Well, I feel this today, Pastor Debbie. Well, I don't feel this tomorrow. It does not matter. What does matter is what you believe with your heart on a continual basis. Every day, every day, every day. Not just Sundays, not just Wednesday mornings. Continually. Remember, this is a lifestyle. I said, this is a lifestyle. We're to live this day in and day out. He said, the just shall live by faith. So we ought to be wanting to practice, develop, exercise, use our faith every single day. Whether you feel like it or not, it's not about a feeling, but it is about believing and what you choose to believe on a continual basis. So healing is not always instantaneous. It can be a process. Everything that's supernatural isn't always instantaneous. Many times the healing power of God's administered to a person and the healing process becomes evident later on. I shared with you about the woman who 11 days later woke up and was all of a sudden pain-free after she had responded in a healing line that Brother Hagin had given. She came up after she heard his teaching or preaching on healing. He laid hands on her, and it looked like in the natural that nothing ever happened. Her husband rolled her back to her seat. She was in a wheelchair. She went home, got her home, got up the next morning, no change, 11 days. Every morning, her and her husband would get up, go in the kitchen, and they would praise and thank God for her healing, no matter what she felt like or what it looked like, because she said she would wake up every morning in extreme pain. She had a great opportunity to get up, complain, murmur, gripe about what she was feeling and dealing with, but she chose to give thanks to God. What is that doing, Pastor? Giving thanks and praising God is a releasing of your faith. You're believing you have received something, and so you're releasing your faith by continuing to outwardly express your thanksgiving to God that he's already done something for you, and you're thankful about it. You're grateful about it. You're praising him for that. Hallelujah. And she did that. And all of a sudden, on the 11th morning when she got up, she was pain-free. She waited 3 days, took no medication, no symptoms returned, went back to the doctors, and what? They did the test, and what? She was cancer-free. Now, what about if all of a sudden in the middle of those 11 days she would have stopped and said, I guess this ain't working. I done waited all this amount of time and No. The moment she would have said that or believed that, it would have what? Stopped her faith from working. It would have nullified her healing. It would have stopped the healing power of God from working in her. I remember another story that Brother Hagin shared about a woman. She came up the healing line, and her husband brought her. She was also dealing with pain from cancer. Her husband helps her to get back to her seat. Didn't look like anything was different. Didn't look like anything felt any different. But when he was putting her in the car, she said when she was getting in the car, her husband was putting her in the car now. This is when she left from the healing line. She was getting in the car. All of a sudden, she felt a warm glow in her body. She felt a warm glow. Accepted it, just kept believing God with her faith. Was totally healed of her cancer. That warm glow didn't happen up here when he laid hands on her. She was getting back in her car, and all of a sudden, this warm glow, she felt it. Sometimes the healing power of God, we're going to talk about this today, is tangible. Hallelujah. So we said, because healing is not always instantaneous, many people lose the beginning of their healing because they begin to think and say, I guess I did not receive it or get it. And the moment you do that, you accommodate the devil by letting him back in with the sickness and the disease, with the symptoms. I've heard Brother Hagin tell stories of people. They were healed, totally free, no sign of it. And then whether it was 6 months later down the road, all of a sudden this pain came back on them. Symptoms showed up that they knew they had before with that same situation. And fear tried to get in there. They allowed the fear. And so they allowed their bodies, their symptoms, to talk them in going back to the doctors. And when they went back to the doctors, you know, just because they had the symptoms, the doctor said, no, we're running tests. No, we don't see nothing. You don't have a thing. It's nothing. And that person is saying, I feel this. Symptoms. The enemy trying to get you to accept it back and take it. I tell you, we got to be wiser than the enemy. When the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Not to be ignorant of them. He uses lies and symptoms to try to convince you otherwise than what this word says. Instead of rising up and meeting those pains or symptoms and saying, no, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Jesus healed me. I believe I have received my healing. The healing power of God is actively at work in my body, perfecting a cure and a wholeness. That's what I believe. See, that's the way we need to keep the switch of faith turned on the moment that we release our faith. Like I said, whether you're sitting right there in your seat or you get hands laid on you, the moment you say, I believe, I receive, that's your time to say with your mouth, I believe I have received my healing. It's mine now. I take it now. And then from that moment on, sometimes it seems like it gets worse the moment you release your faith and say, I got it. Because the devil is trying to what? Talk you out of it. He's trying to sway you and move you off of what you're believing is right here in this word. So don't be moved if things try to look, seems like it gets worse before it gets better. Keep the switch of faith turned on by saying, I believe the healing power of God is actively at work in me. Don't be saying, no, those, I've got this symptom, Pastor Debbie, and showed up. You know, I got that same pain. So struck my elbow, went down my arm and through my wrist. I know. No. Instead of talking about the pain and the symptom, talk about the healing power of God that you believe you received. And say, that's what's working in me. It's amazing. Remember, the speech center is the dominion center of our lives. The speech center is the dominion center of our lives. It does matter what you are saying. Your voice is your address into the realm of the spirit and your ticket out of Satan's dominion. Out of Satan's dominion. But if you're never saying what you are, who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. So we have got to learn to align our speaking up with what we're believing. Don't let your thinker get in the way of your speaker. Keep your speaker hooked up to your believer. Praise the Lord. Y'all are quiet in here this morning. Hallelujah. So we looked at different examples in the Bible with the two different blind men. We looked at the nobleman's son, the different things that Jesus just said, just spoke the word and said, go in peace and your son will live. The nobleman acted on the words that Jesus spoke, and it what brought freedom to his son. His son was healed, but it was a process. It was a process. But he still got it. Just like the blind men, just like the 10 lepers. I'm just reminding us of these examples in the Bible where it was gradual. It was a process, but they believed what Jesus said, and it worked for them. It worked for them. So let's take it a little step further when it comes to gradual healing, or healing being a process. Healing by degrees is based on two conditions. Number one, the degree of healing power administered. Number one, I said, the degree of healing power administered. Some people are more anointed than others. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, there are healing evangelists that minister healing all the time because that's how God uses them. Versus a person who might just take this word right here where it tells us in Mark chapter 16, the believer shall lay hands on the sick and they what? Shall recover. So healing by degrees is based on two conditions. Number one, the degree of healing power administered at the time when you have hands laid on you. And secondly, the degree of faith that gives action to the healing power administered. Because everybody's faith is on a different level. Although we all, when we get born again, receive the same measure of the God kind of faith, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we all receive and start out with the same measure of faith, but then it's up to each one of us what we do with that measure of faith we've been given. Are we exercising? Are we using it? Are we developing it? Are we practicing the word of God with our faith? The Bible says, what, be doers of the word and not mere hearers only. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of what you're hearing. You won't begin to grow until you begin to do what you know. Hallelujah. So the degree of faith gives action to the power. Sometimes the healing power of God is administered to a person to such a degree that the person is supernaturally charged with the power of God, just like with electricity. Listen to me now, just like with electricity, yet no real healing takes place until something happens that causes that individual to release their faith. We've had them come right here in this healing center. And I'm telling you, They've come right up front. We laid hands on them. The healing power of God was so tangible. It was so heavy. It was so strong. I've seen them shake under the power of God. I've seen them tremble under the power of God. They had to sit down under the power of God and sit there for moments. I've seen them come, believe they received. You could tell they were receiving and releasing their faith. And when they got home, they had tumors that dissolved with the healing power of God that was all over them. Just dissolved, totally disappeared. We got that man's testimony online, I believe. But yeah, the moment he believed, the moment that hands were laid on him, that he was going to receive, whether he felt it, we didn't know. I mean, sometimes it's just the way it shows up. Hallelujah. But until that person does something to release the faith, I mean, they could be literally charged, shaken, trembling, everything else, and leave here and never release their faith and believe they received. Do you hear me? So many people think that the healing power alone is going to do it all. Listen to me now. They come up here with the wrong thinking. They come up here, they feel something, and they think that power alone has done it, has done everything. No, until you connect your faith to that power, come on now, our faith gives action to that power and causes that power to work effectively in us. That's when it begins to do something. And whether it's instantaneous or you walking out of here and it's a process, but you notice even as you walk into your car, to your vehicle next week, you're feeling a difference in your body. But it doesn't matter whether you're feeling a difference. What does matter is you believed, you received, and you're saying with your mouth, I believe that healing power is working in me, perfecting a cure and a wholeness. Are y'all getting this? I remember one time I went to the hospital and this woman, her father was put in the hospital and he had been diagnosed with cancer. And she wanted me to come and pray for him. And so I went to the hospital and got in his room and I was standing beside his bed. His bed was like this and I was standing here. And when I got there and I began to minister to him standing by his bed, he grabbed my hand. And I could tell it was not just a normal handshake, grab your hand. It was an expectancy in that grabbing of the hand. So I sat there and held his hand the whole time, shared the word of God out of my heart. And I knew that something was, virtue was going out of me, through me. Am I? No. Jesus, I'm a conduit of his power. The Father in me does the works. Jesus, the healer, he's the one working through me. I'm just the vessel. So I felt the virtue, the healing anointing, leaving me, going, I talk about it and it just shows up. That healing power flowing out of my hand into him. I knew something was going out of me. He knew something was going into him. I said there was an expectancy. He believed. His daughter had been sharing with him concerning the healing center and things that happened and everything. So he believed. So he grabbed a hold of my hand. And I was there 30 minutes sharing the word, sharing the healing word of God. And you know, anywhere the healing word is being taught or preached, that tangible healing anointing is there. It's there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's everywhere. The Holy Ghost is the performer. He's everywhere. He's just waiting for somebody to connect. So I prayed with him and left. And a couple of weeks went by and his daughter, she got a hold of me. She says, I just want to tell you about a report on Dad. I said, okay, what happened? She says, well, when he came in here, he was diagnosed with cancer. But she says, he left out of here. He didn't have no cancer. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, that healing power, that healing anointing or virtue drove it out of his body. But he was believing something. Do you get it? It wasn't just the healing anointing itself. No, he was believing, expecting something. And that faith connected with the power of God and brought that healing in his body and drove that sickness out. Sometimes we become so impatient. We become impatient and we stop our healing from really coming to full fruition. We stop our faith from working because we get to thinking, but we can't let the thinking talk us out of our believing. We must continue to stay hooked up with our faith. With our faith. Hallelujah. So, whether your body is charged tangibly with a power of God, you feel it, you sense it, that power alone will not do you any good until you connect with it. With your faith and believe, you receive, and then release your faith, whether it's through thanksgiving, through praise. It's amazing what happens when you agree with God that you believe you receive something and you acknowledge it with your mouth, you confirm it with your mouth. I want us to turn and look at an example in the Bible here today. First of all, I want to say this about the healing anointing or the healing power of God. Concerning the healing power of God, it is a tangible, living substance. It is a heavenly materiality. It is perceptible to the touch. It can be what? It can be connected with. It can be connected with. So concerning the healing power of God, it's tangible, it's living, it's a heavenly materiality. Number one, it's transmittable. It can be transmitted or transferred into certain substances. Are you with me? Like an example, Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. We use this one in here a lot. When you see us pray over prayer cloths, because cloth can actually be like a storage container or storage container of the power of God. When we pray over it, just like Paul, it says that aprons and handkerchiefs were placed on his body and taken from him and placed on the sick. And when they did place those aprons or napkins, handkerchiefs that were taken from his body because he was anointed with that healing anointing and placed upon the sick, it said if they had diseases or sicknesses, it left them. With the moment that cloth was placed on them, did the cloth heal them? No. That cloth became a storage container of the power of God. When the minister or the person that was ministering released that healing anointing, it went into that cloth. That cloth became that storage container. Then when that was placed on the body of the sick, what happened? It went into the sick person's body. And whether it was demons or devils, it says right here in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Demons and devils came out, and sickness and diseases left. The healing power of God is transmittable. It can be transferred through certain substances. Even in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21, Elisha's bones. Now, we know that Elisha received a double portion of the anointing from Elijah. So we know that the healing power of God or the healing anointing or the anointing is measurable because Elijah passed down a double portion to Elisha. And it's recorded in the Old Testament that Elisha did twice as many healings and miracles than Elijah did. Twice as many. The double portion. So the healing power of God is measurable. Yeah. And that's in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. That is, so it's not only transmittable, it can be transferred or transmitted into cloths, and those cloths can be laid upon the sick, but it's also measurable. And then we said it's also tangible, perceptible to the touch, capable of being touched, this healing power of God. John G. Lake made a statement like this. He said, concerning the power of God, he said, electricity is God's power in the natural realm. But he said, the power of God is God's power in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. So tangible and perceptible to the touch, or can be touched, is just like the woman with the issue of blood. She felt something go into her body, and what it, Jesus felt something go out of his body. Just like I was sharing with that man standing by his hospital bed. I could tell he was expecting. It makes a difference. I said, it makes a difference. Your faith, it makes a difference. Hallelujah. So the healing power of God is a real heavenly materiality, a tangible living substance. It can be transmitted, it's measurable, and it is tangible. So let's look at an example. Let's go to Luke chapter 5 today. Luke chapter 5, we talked about healing can be a process, or gradual, or it can be instantaneous, but we must learn to accept both. And how to keep the switch of faith turned on, hallelujah, and how to connect with that power when it is available, yeah. Hallelujah. You can receive in your car, you can receive at home. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Yep. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 17. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It says, one of those days, as he was teaching, who? Jesus was teaching. There were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come from every village and town of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. So they were from a broad, scattered area. Y'all getting this? And the power of the Lord was present. Say, was present. The power of the Lord was present with him to heal them. Notice here, to heal them. Everybody that was there hearing that word, the power of the Lord was present to heal them, just like it is today. Verse 18, and behold, some men were bringing on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. And they tried to carry him in and lay him before Jesus. Verse 19, but finding no way, say no way. Finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd. So obviously it had to be a big crowd. They couldn't even get near Jesus because of this crowd. But they knew they had to get their friend to Jesus. That was their answer. So finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him with his stretcher through the tiles into the midst, right in front of Jesus. Now, you talked about faith in action. There was a high expectancy here from these four men. Four crazy friends. How many got four crazy friends? Four crazy spiritual friends now, because these guys were determined to get their friend to their, what, to his answer, to his help. Yeah. They were expecting him to be raised up, to be changed. And evidently, he was expecting something with them. He wasn't just laying on the... No, he was expecting... They had stirred him up and aroused his faith and said, look, we're going to get you to... We've heard about Jesus and we know where he is today. So we're going to take you here. We're going to get you to him. You hear me? Today is your day, our friend. Today is your day. I said, today is your day. Hallelujah. So it says they made a hole in the roof and lowered their friend down through the hole. Verse 20, and when he saw who? Jesus. When he saw their faith, their confidence in him springing from their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Here we go. Forgiveness of sins. Jesus deals with the man in his forgiveness of sins right away. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. Here you go. Here goes the mind, the thinking, getting right in the way, talking them right out of what Jesus had just told them about forgiveness. And it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason and question and argue, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Only who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Hello, praise God. Verse 22, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts and questionings. How did he know this? By a gift of the Spirit. It was revealed to him. He knew it. He was revealed to him by the Spirit of God. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts and their questionings, answered them. Woo! He says, why do you question in your hearts? He knew they were having that tugging and agonizing, going back and forth in their hearts, reasoning, trying to reason all this out. Jesus says, why do you question in your hearts? Verse 23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, walk about? Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has the power of authority right on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, arise, go, pick up your litter, stretcher, and go to your own house. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke a delivering word here, didn't he not? Yes, he did. He told the man to pick up your little stretcher and go on to your own house. Verse 25, instantly. Now this was an instantly. Instantly, the man stood up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went away to his house, recognizing, praising, thanking God. How beautiful is this? What was he doing? He was acknowledging and recognizing this is from God and God alone. Come on now. And then he was praising him and he was thanking him. Verse 26, an overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized all of them. Now, this was a big, big, big crowd because they couldn't even get nowhere near him. They had to crawl up on the roof. That took a lot of effort on those four crazy friends that brought their friend to Jesus. They could have given up and said, this ain't going to work today. We need to go back home. Let's try it on maybe a Thursday when it'll be less crowded. Have you ever said that yourself? No. Their faith was persistent. I said their faith was persistent. There was a determination. There was a determination in them that they were not leaving their friend there, helpless, hopeless, that had been like that for a long time. No, they were believing that when their friend left there, he was going to be the same. He was going to be healed. So they believed. And the guy on the stretcher believed because he had to trust them to get him up, pull him up on the roof. We don't know how high the roof was. Hallelujah. They had to pull him up on the roof, lay him up there, dig the hole through the roof, through the tiles, lower him down. He was trusting his friends totally. They could have dropped him. Can you imagine the thoughts that might have been running through his head? But he believed. They believed. Determined. They weren't going to leave there until they got something for their friend. Jesus saw their faith I said, Jesus saw their faith. All of a sudden, their faith popped up on Jesus' radar screen. He said, this bunch is here for a reason and a purpose. There is a high expectation, a determination. They could have just turned around and gone home and said, oh, it's a big crowd today. We can't. Sorry, friend. This ain't your day. No. No. It is. Every day. Every day. Like Brother Oral Roberts would say, every day a miracle is coming to you or going by you. You choose. I said, every day a miracle is coming to you or going by you. You choose. You make the choice. No, bless God, I am not leaving here. This thing is mine. According to that word, bless God, I thank you, Lord. Woo, glory. I'm releasing my faith. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. It makes a difference. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 2. It's the same story, but I want us to see something here. Mark chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And Jesus, having returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was rumored about that he was in the house. Here we go. It was rumored about. What? It was talked about that he was in Peter's house or somebody's house. So it was letting the people know, this is where he is. This is our answer. We need to get to our answer. Verse 2. And so many people gathered together there that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he was discussing the word. Jesus was discussing what? The word. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, saying he was anointed to preach, teach, heal, deliver. Come on now. He was discussing the word with them. Verse 3. So faith was coming to them as they were hearing. But notice in Luke it says the power of God was present for all of them. All of them there. The power of God was present for all of them. Any of them could have just stopped and connected with their faith and released their faith and received their healing. Any of them. But it was these four crazy friends that brought their friend on a stretcher that was determined, come on now, had a determination in their faith. They were persistent. They weren't going to let nothing like this crowd discourage them, talk them out of what they were believing for. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. Verse 4, and they could not get him to a place in front of Jesus because of the throng, all the crowd. They dug through the roof above him, and when they had scooped out an opening, they let down the thickly padded quilt or mat upon which the paralyzed man laid. Here we go. And verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, what pleases God? Faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. That diligence there, I mean, that pressing in, pressing through, not giving up, not letting up, not quitting because it gets a little rough. Come on now. We got to push through that and not allow our bodies to talk us out of what God said belongs to us and what we have. And when you released your faith, you believed, you received, it's yours. Hallelujah. Continue to thank and praise and bless God for it. And when Jesus saw their faith, their confidence in God through him, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven you. Forgiveness of sins and healing go right together. That's a package deal. I said it's a package deal. When you get one, you get the other. Automatically, it becomes yours. And put away, that is, the penalty is remitted. The sense of guilt is removed. Oh, boy. He wasn't paying for his sins. That guilt of being, all of that was removed. And you are made upright and in right standing with God. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there holding a dialogue with themselves as they questioned in their hearts. Verse 7, why does this man talk like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins, remove guilt, remit the penalty, and bestow righteousness instead except God alone? Well, we know who Jesus is, the Son of God. God manifested in the flesh. Verse 8, and at once Jesus, becoming fully aware in his spirit, here you go, revealed by the Holy Ghost in his spirit. Jesus was what? A man anointed by the Spirit of God and with the power of God. What it, Acts 10:38, how Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for the Father was with him. Who anointed him? God the Father. He said he became fully aware in his spirit that they thus debated within themselves and said to them, why do you argue, debate, reason about all this in your hearts? It's real simple. Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven and put away, or to say, rise, take up your sleeping pad or mat and start walking about and keep on walking? I like that one. Keep on walking. Don't just do it right here and then sit back down. Keep on walking. Keep on going. In other words, take it, believe it, receive it, and then keep on going. Live your life normal now. Hallelujah. Verse 10, but that you may know positively and beyond a doubt that the Son of Man has right and authority and power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, arise, pick up and carry your sleeping bed or mat and be going on home. Woo, I bet that was the best news that man heard about going home in a long time. Yes. Hallelujah. And he arose at once. Here we go with that instantaneous now, this instantaneous. He arose at once, but because of his friends and his faith, he believed, he expected. And what he heard, what they all heard, put him right down in front of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. So it says, they were all amazed, they recognized, they praised, they thanked God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. Hallelujah. The healing power of God was present to heal them all. But only one man who was on a stretcher with four crazy friends that were determined to get them to Jesus, to their answer, got any help. Let's stand to our feet. Lord Jesus, you're helping us. You're helping us, you're helping us, you're helping us. You're helping us keep that switch of faith turned on, that we're not moved by time. We serve a God of timelessness. I said we serve a God of timelessness. There is no time in the spirit realm. It's only time in this realm that we're living in right here on this earth. So you can either use time to work for you or against you. You make the choice. The Bible says that we're to make the most of the time that's been given us. Make the most of that time that's been given you. Use it to your advantage. Use your mouth. Keep releasing your feet. Faith. Keep praising God. Keep thanking God. Keep blessing Him. That it's already, if you have gotten to that place where you believed, you have received and you released your faith. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give in. Don't begin to say with your mouth, well, I guess this wasn't my time, Pastor Debbie. And God's timing, you know, He's got a timing for me on this. Let me tell you, His timing was 2,000 years ago when He sent His Son Jesus. That was His timing. Healing was provided right then and there. When He said, it is finished, He meant it was finished. Now He's up to you to take it and believe it. Right. Receive it.
That's right.
Own it. It's yours. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Woo, glory to God.
Thank
Father, thank you today. Thank you for your healing power, your healing anointing, just like we talked about today. Your healing power is here and available for whosoever will believe it, receive it, and act on it. So, Lord, I believe today with these people right here. So let's say this together. in the name of Jesus. Today, I believe I receive my healing right now. It's mine. I take it now. I make it my own. I believe I have received my healing. The healing power of God is actively at work in me, perfecting a cure and wholeness in my body right now. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. It's mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now just release your faith and thank Him for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're thankful and grateful, Lord. You're the healer. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Maybe you can.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.